Well, it's good to be here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's wonderful to praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. We used to sing a little chorus, "Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His love." How many are glad for the love of God? "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Why don't you? Can we do it? "Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His love. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord?" Ah, praise the Lord. I gotta tell you, raising your hands is not just a Pentecostal thing. Bible says to lift up your hands without wrath and without dissension. Praise God. Yeah, I tell you, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. You know, in this day and age, there are some people that think a little bit differently about church. I like to say this, that just because you come to church don't make you any more Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I saw some folks with some Tim's coffee. And just because you go to Tim's don't make you a policeman. I can go into a garage, it doesn't make me a car. And I can come into a church building and it doesn't make me a Christian. But I can tell you what does. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Praise the name of the Lord. It is a really good thing for us to dwell and for brothers to dwell together in, the Bible says, unity. Glory to God. I tell you, it's wonderful to get together with other believers, no matter where we go. We've preached in Presbyterian churches. He said, "What?" Yes, this Pentecostal dude go to Presbyterian churches, and we've been to, you know, Anglican churches. And the only thing is, my kids, when they were young, they'd say, "Dad, do we have to go to that church again? The pews are hard." And at least you have good, comfortable pews in this house. Praise God. We can sing all day. There's something within me that desires to praise the Lord. There's something within me. I can't, well, you may have noticed, I can't stand still. My music's in me. We grew up in a family that we just love to praise God. My mom always had a tape recorder, or she had a camera in her hand and used to record or take pictures of us kids singing and practicing and making music. In fact, when we were home in Ontario back in the spring, I think it was, we brought back with us a reel-to-reel tape recorder. You know, 7-inch reels. And we began to play some of those reels. They had a recording of me when I was 3 years old trying to talk. It was priceless. My daughter-in-law, when she heard that, she just started to cry because she said, "This is something." Now we've got these small little devices now that, you know, where it can record and you can use your cameras to record and do all kinds of things. But it was amazing. And us kids, when we were 7 and 8 years old, singing, making melody in our heart, we grew up just loving the Lord. Wasn't always that way. Yeah, It wasn't always that way. When I was 7 years old, the Lord called me into ministry to work with the Church of Jesus. The Church of Jesus has gone through a lot of different transitions in this day and age. Some like it and some don't. But you see, the interesting thing is God's working through His church in incredible ways. And you and I may not like the way that it looks today, or perhaps even where it's going today, or some of the things that happen in church. Sometimes it just, stuff just happens. In our family, we grew up in a family that we just loved to hug one another. I'm a hugger. When I saw Brother Terry this morning, we gave him a great big hug, because that's what we do when we're family. You see. Now, Shannon's house was a little bit different. When she grew up, they didn't do a lot of hugging. It was quite different for her. She'll tell you, quite different for her to come into our house and we just hug coming and you hug going and you hug in between. And you're always told how much you love one another. But sometimes stuff happens in families that are difficult. But I have some good news for you. Jesus is doing something in the church that's awesome. You know, some call them attractional churches, and some call them seeker-sensitive churches, and some call them revitalized churches. And they've got all kinds of names for it. But throughout the years, we've been in ministry now for about 38 years. And if I was to tally up some of those leadership meetings that we went to as a youth. I grew up through the ranks, and we would learn how to, you know, worship God, but we learned how to, you know, respond to leadership and learn how to give leadership even in those formative years. And I'll never forget when my pastor decided he was going to bring a youth pastor, and this is not part of my notes, but my pastor decided they were going to bring a youth pastor in the church. I happened to be the president of the youth group, and my pastor said to me, actually, Ron, we want to take youth from Friday nights and put it on a Wednesday night. And I went to him, I said, oh, pastor, please don't, please don't, please don't. He says, well, Ron, we want a family night where the family all gathers together, the adults will have their meeting, the youth will have their meeting, and the children will have their meeting. And I went, oh, pastor, please, please. I understand the role of a youth pastor. And I said to him, I said, you're going to take away I didn't use the word mentors, but that's what it is today. You're going to take away our foundation, some of the adults that will give us guidance, and they help us with finances, and they're just there in every youth meeting. And we saw God do some awesome things. And I went, oh, pastor, you're going to divide us all up. We won't be the same. And I've watched how the church has almost segregated the youth from the adults. I work with at-risk young people too. And I'm watching what happens when you take away the mentors. And did I like the transition? No. But did I honor the leadership? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But I've watched that transition happen, and all of a sudden youth don't want to have much to do, you know, with the older folks, so we think. After a while, as a pastor, I begin to tell the congregation, if you want youth in your church, then go to where youth are. That might mean you going to a basketball game that you may not know anything about. But just your presence and being at that game means so much to those young people. And we don't think sometimes that it does much spiritually. But when we would go to the, and it really is not necessarily a spiritual thing. But I when I read the scripture, I watched what Jesus did. He spent a lot of time with the publicans and the sinners. And if he spent that amount of time with the publicans and sinners, then surely we can support youth that we know that are in our families. And I used to say to them, at least go to a game. I'll tell you what happened. My wife and I, we'd go to some of the games and watch the youth as they'd come into especially the kids as they would come into church. Do you know her first one that they'd come to? They'd come to Pastor Ron and Shannon, because we were there in their place. They just support. They They wouldn't necessarily see it as a support. But you see, it was a way of connecting. It was being in their place, in their space. And I've seen it over and over again. You watch the delight on the face of those young people. Maybe it's a soccer game. Maybe it's ballet. Maybe it's doing something with the arts. I'll tell you what. We support kids when they do sports. But what about the artistry when they put something together? I have three grandchildren. And I'll tell you, they're all different. And I love them so much. But I watch them as they think, they look at a bug. And they go, "Grandpa! Bug!" You know, it's so neat to watch them discover some of the things in life for the first time. You see? And I understand how you want to capture the hearts of those kids. It's called family. We do things because we're family. We participate in each other's lives because we're family. That gives us a platform to be able to speak into their lives when things get hard, when things get tough. There's a young fellow that I used to coach. I'm a certified coach in basketball and soccer, and I still have a young fellow that still calls me. He was friends with my son. In fact, those young people, whenever they came over to the house, even my sons would say, "Dad, come on downstairs. We want you to play video games or whatever." Am I a video gamer? Not a good one. But we had fun. And we did something that they would enjoy. And then when it come time for them to have struggles in their life, they felt free to share with us. And whether they were around their friends or not, they would still give us a hug. And to this day, they still give us a hug. There's something about family that's unique. Can we talk about the hard things and the tough things and go through those kinds of things well? Or is it just kind of, for some families, it's a drama. You see, life is a drama, one drama after another. But does God want to use us in that place and in that space to minister to young people or to, you know, college and career age? I'll tell you, it's wonderful, this thing, this body of Christ. Do you realize this is Pentecost Sunday? I appreciate, thank you for the songs that you led in this morning. My goodness, they were awesome. Most of those songs we cut our teeth on. You see what I'm saying? We grew up with those songs. Wow, awesome. But do you realize this is Pentecost Sunday? Happy Pentecost. But what does Pentecost mean to you? So what I want to do is I want to talk about, not necessarily about Pentecost, I want to chat with you a little bit about the church and what Pentecost does for us. Praise the Lord. I want to start with Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to read through the NLT. We couldn't find the NLT on their on the Easy Worship program that they're using right now. It's something that has to be downloaded. But anyway, we'll do with what we do. Pentecost basically means 50. It's actually celebrated 50 days after Passover. And it was the time when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And the church was born and filled with the Spirit. Why were they filled with the Spirit? Were they filled with the Spirit so they can speak in tongues? That's only part of it. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. I've had many people ask me, "Well, tongues, what is that?" Well, that's speaking in a language you never learned. You do not know. On that day, when Pentecost was fully come, in other words, it was upon, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. And the Bible says they were in one accord. And something unique happened that day, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on that day. It was awesome. Tongues, like as a fire, set out on each of them. And the Bible says, and they began to speak in other tongues. Who did the speaking? The Spirit? Bible says they. The individuals. The people that were gathered together in one accord. They all begin to speak. And we go, well, what kind of language was it? Well, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 began to say, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Well, on that day of Pentecost, there were many people from different cultures, from different languages. They were all had all gone to Jerusalem. And they heard these people speak in their different languages. It was obviously the tongues of men. You say, how was that possible? Well, really, I don't know. I remember when I was in Bible college that we were having a days of prayer. And what was interesting was during that days of prayer, I was kneeling beside it. It was during those times when we were actually praying, and I was kneeling there, and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit was praying through me. In fact, beside me was a fellow that was from Zimbabwe, kneeling beside me. Now, I didn't know it till later. I was speaking in the language of Zimbabwe. And it was almost like we were having a conversation. It was the most interesting experience. But we were speaking in the tones, the whole dialect. He told me after, he says, it was absolutely perfect. I went, how can that be? I'd never learned that language before, you see. But I was speaking in his language. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, oh yes, there is a heavenly language too. But you can also speak in a language that is of man. And what I experienced at that moment, in fact, when we begin to talk about it later, matter of fact, I couldn't speak any English until I got to the threshold of my bedroom. I'd never had that experience before, and I haven't had it since. There's been times that when I speak in tongues, it's almost like I'm in Chinese, a dialect, you see. But I always say this to people, that sometimes when I pray, Paul talks about praying with the understanding also. And I went, okay, how does that work? But many times when I am praying in what we call in the Spirit, or I'm praying in tongues, that my mind begins to click into, almost a different gear, and I know exactly what it is I'm praying about. You see? I'm not only connecting with the Spirit of God, but also my mind is fruitful because I know what it is. Exactly what it is I'm praying, you see. So there are things about speaking in tongues that are absolutely wonderful, and we don't know it all. I just know that it's for today. It not only happened back then on the day of Pentecost, but it happens today. Oftentimes you might hear a message in tongues and interpretation in the service. And I'll tell you what happens. It's God speaking to us. How many like it when God speaks? Woo! Glory to God. And we need God to speak more and more and more to us, even in this day, in this hour. Glory to God. But what is this all about? Is it just about speaking in tongues? No, I don't think so. I think it's one of those things that God is working in us to give us some direction, yes. But I also believe in the fivefold, what we call the fivefold ministry, the ministry of the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. And sometimes what we do is, as a church, we think that the only one that leads the church is the pastor. Okay. But what's interesting, the rest of the gifts were given to us. Gifts to the body. Glory to God. What is the fivefold ministry for? It's to you know, Jesus gave them as gifts under the church. Okay. But what is that all about? The fivefold ministry was giving for the Bible says it like this, for the equipping of the saints. How many want to be equipped for this day? Woo. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we do fight against principalities and powers and rulers and dark places and wickedness. Okay. We really don't fight against flesh and blood. But these are things that God is doing in the body of Christ that we call the church. Well, where in the world? How did this church get started anyway? Well, before the day of Pentecost, Jesus actually spoke about the church. And in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people that say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" I wonder what our response would be. Who is Jesus? You might say, well, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Glory to God. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. But Peter, you know, loudmouth Peter, he speaks up. Praise God for Peter. He said, Peter answers, says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replies, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Everyone say that word, revealed. Let me tell you that God desires to reveal, our Father in heaven desires to reveal to us some things. Now, last night, I was doing a lot of praying and battling, and I had some pain in my hip right here. And my wife had already got up, and she was coming back to bed, and she heard me rumbling around in my suitcase. She said, "What in the world you doing?" And I says, "I'm trying to find my acetaminophen." She said, "Well, what do you need that for?" Well, I said, I got a pain in my hip. I want to get rid of it. Well, I found the bottle of acetaminophen in the dark. I could tell by the shape because I knew in my suitcase it was what the shape was. Okay. And I proceeded to turn the lid a little bit. You know, the arrows got to match up. Well, I tried to find, in the dark, I tried to find how to, those little arrows to match up. And I did. I got that lid off. And when I poked my finger in the little container, there was nothing but nails and screws. I thought, whoa, what is this? You know, this is ridiculous. I thought I had the acetaminophen. And then I said, well, I guess I'm not going to have acetaminophen. I didn't realize that there was some other stuff that was on the cupboard, but I didn't want to turn the light on. And you know, I put that bottle back in my suitcase. And you know, when I did that, that pain was gone. That pain that I had in my hip was gone. I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I just slid back into the bed, and I went right back to sleep, had a great sleep from then on. But before I crawled back into bed, I thought, what is this? I began to say to the Lord, what is this? And the Lord says, this pain's not yours. And I thought, well, what does that mean? There may be somebody here that you have a pain in your hip God wants to heal. Glory to God. You know, what happened was that pain wasn't mine. Actually, Jesus took away our pain. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Doesn't say it might be, it says we are healed. Glory to God. That was a clue to me. That pain was not mine. As I say, there may be somebody here that you have something, and I'm not going to, you know, call you out. But I'll tell you what, the presence of the Lord is here to heal. Glory to God. The presence of the Lord is here to heal. Sometimes we think in church that we have to sing quite a lot before that we have the presence of God. It's almost like we think that we have to sing, if we can sing loud enough and long enough and hard enough, that the presence of God will be there. I have news for you. The Lord says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Glory to God. Do you know what that means? We come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's praise is important. I'm not diminishing that. Okay. But I do know when the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. The presence of the Lord was here before I got here. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Glory to God. Who do we think we are that we can call in Almighty God when the presence of the Lord is here? Wherever we go, the presence of the Lord is there. And I will tell you this, but that when the early church, when they went about the towns, and when they were out in the villages, they didn't have a five-piece band. They didn't have a choir. They didn't have any kind of an orchestra. They had the presence of Almighty God. He was living in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have the treasure in this earthen vessel. We haven't yet but tapped into yet. But how did it get there? Where did it start? Jesus said, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which by the way means little rock or little pebble. And upon this rock, I will build what? I will build what? It says, I will build my church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Upon the revelation of Jesus. See, we gather for many kinds of things. My wife wanted to see the marriage that took place. How many watched that, by the way? Okay, good. Yeah. What else did you see? Everybody came, and they came all dressed up, ready for the party, right? It was a celebration. It was big. People came with their garments. Man, they were dressed right up and had their makeup on and their hats and all their gear. They came because it was royalty. You come to church this morning and you put on garments too. Yes, you did. Some put on ties. Thank you, brother. Glory to God. Wore my tie this morning. You know, I don't always wear my tie. I don't usually come in jeans, but sometimes I do. Some people think that it's all about the clothes, but let me tell you something. It's more about the heart. We can have really good music, but if it's not coming from the heart, okay, it'll be flat. Are we pleasing God? We always please God when we gather together. Understand that. But you see, it's all about Jesus. We come because of Jesus. It's been revealed to us about Jesus. He is, right now, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By the way, is that clock right? Good. We're good. Somebody told me He goes for dinner at 12 o'clock. 5 to 12. Yes, sir. Glory to God. We get ourselves ready. We get up in the morning. We comb our hair. The ladies put on their perfumes and their makeups. And I'm glad I don't wear the stuff. But anyway, they can do it. Praise God for them. Hallelujah. But sometimes we forget to prepare our heart. He's more concerned about our heart. David says it like this: Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I would not sin against you. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when we gather, sometimes things happen because of the things that are in our heart. We speak from our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, but God said, Jesus said, He said, I will build my church. And then this translation out of the NLT says, and all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer it. You know how big that is? When I was growing up in the Pentecostal church in Woodstock, Ontario, actually, that's where I grew up most of my life. I was born in Chatham, Ontario. And then we spent most of our time in growing up in Woodstock. And I used to think that the church was a little wee group all huddled together. And the Bible says, and King James says, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And I would think that here we are, a little wee cluster group, and the gates of hell are coming against the church. Do you know what I've discovered? I don't know if it's like gates that you see, but the gates that I see, gates don't move. Gates are stationary. Gates protect property. In order to get in to see the queen, you've got to go through gates. Gates don't move. When I was, as I was starting out in ministry, I began to understand that it's the church that is advancing. How do we advance? Well, some have tried to do it in their own strength, and yeah, they might get a little ways. But gates, as a rule, do not move. Until you start advancing, you've got to tear down the gates. That's how it was in those old days. You went after the gates of hell by reading your Bible and prayer every day. We go after the gates of hell because of the relationship that we've built in Jesus. Hallelujah. We begin to interact with God. We learn the voice of God. Hallelujah. And the only way that that's done is we spend time with Him. When our grandbabies, each one of them, when they were small, back when they were born, we would take them in our arms and we would sing to them. The oldest one, the very first one that came along, was born to my youngest son, and his name is Elias. And I would sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. And then the second one come along and he was born to my oldest son. And when Jedediah came, his song was, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is His name. My soul does magnify the Lord. My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. And then the third one, come along, mercy. My first granddaughter. Hallelujah. We had two boys. We never had a girl, but we got one now. Thank you, Jesus. And it was, for Mercy, it was a special moment because when I held her in my arms, a few days before Mercy was born, the Lord gave me a song. I'll sing part of it for you. My soul sings. My soul sings. My soul sings in gratefulness to Christ my King. My soul sings. My soul sings. Did you notice that every one of them had to do with my soul? Singing. You see. Why did I sing to my grandchildren? Because no matter what or how we communicated with them, I wanted them to know my voice. You see. That's why I would sing to them. The Father, our Heavenly Father, wants us to know His voice. You see. The church of Jesus is built on the revelation of who He is. But revelation isn't supposed to be something that just happens for one time. He wants to reveal Himself to us. And in fact, it's so real that He wants us to learn how to communicate with Him. See, God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. There's a spirit within us. Glory to God. Yeah, He can communicate with our mind. Yes, you know, we can speak out those heavenly languages to God. But He wants to communicate with us. Glory to God. So that revelation of who He is just doesn't, He doesn't want to just stay at revelation, but He wants us to carry us even further. And Jesus said, I will build my church and all the powers will not be able to conquer it. I've had people say to me, well, what about this praying in an unknown tongue? If we pray in an unknown tongue, the devil doesn't know how to deal with that. The devil, he doesn't know that language. Well, to be honest with you, I don't have any biblical evidence of that. I don't. Can he do anything about it? No. When Paul the Apostle says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, well, what is Lucifer? What is Satan? He's a fallen angel. So he was up there. He must know the heavenly language. Can he do anything about it? Mm-mm. In matter of fact, I believe that the devil's heavy artillery is no match for God's BB guns. Our God is all powerful. There is no one that is like Him in all the earth. You see, He's an awesome God. As a matter of fact, if we showed you a son, the sun, and reduce the sun down to 15 feet, the earth brought down to the same scale that we brought down the sun, okay? The sun was only 15 feet, the earth would only be the size of a golf ball, in contrast. But in fact, the sun is light years big. God made that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's this Almighty God that wants to talk with us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to dialogue with us. Glory to God. See, it was the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead that dwells in us. In fact, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, King James uses the word bind. Whatever you bind, NLT uses the word, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven or bound in heaven. Whatever you permit or loose on earth, it will be permitted or loosed in heaven. You see, that's big. I don't think we understand the power of our God. I don't know that we really understand the power that there is in the resurrection, in the resurrection. I don't think we really understand, okay, yet. But you see, Jesus said, I will build. Now, how is that building built? It's built on the revelation of Jesus. Glory to God. It's not built on fine preaching. It's not built by fine singing. Okay, it's not built by a fine building. In fact, the church is meeting in houses and in buildings that don't look like this. I was listening to a man, Francis Chan. He was saying that he was in China. And when he was in China, they asked him the question, what is the church like in America? And he said, well, we have fine buildings and we fill our buildings with people. And people gather when there is a special speaker, or they gather when there's a special singing. And really, for some of them, it really depends on, you know, the chairs or the accommodation, or if it's pleasant or if it's accessible. And the Chinese people begin to laugh. And so Francis says to the interpreter, what's going on? What are these people laughing about? Well, they're laughing about how they do church in America. Do you realize that there are more than 6,000 denominations in the U.S. alone? 6,000 denominations. That's denominations. That's not churches. Is it any surprise to us that people have become, can I use this term, consumer-driven? We've got a lot of choice. I mean, actually, we have a lot of choice when it comes time the kind of hamburger we use, that we take in. We can go to McDonald's or to Burger King or Harvey's, or, you know, you can get just a simple hamburger. We've got choice. And sometimes we choose churches like we choose hamburgers. And that's the kind of thing that the Chinese were laughing about. They said, when we gather to worship Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. What happens if you're here on a Sunday morning? By the way, I'm a worship leader too. I understand about worship. In fact, the Lord has placed in our hands worship that is, there's times that we've gone into the heavenlies and we've actually seen deliverances take place. Yes, deliverances take place. Or demons coming out with loud screaming voices. Did I ask for it? No, it happened because of the power of God. We were just worshiping Him. And I'll tell you, it's awesome. But I'll tell you, it's not about, in fact, I said to the people, what you've seen is not a display of darkness. What you've seen is the power of God that is activated when God's people get together and they're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And devils get a little shaky when that happens. Oh yeah, the devils, they believe in God too. You see? They believe, and the Bible says they tremble. But I'll tell you what. Jesus gave us keys in this kingdom. In this thing called the church. That we can actually activate the power of God to meet the need. We think the only place that needs are being met, healings are being done, miracles, we've seen them throughout the years, miracles are done. We think that the only place that happens is in church where we're gathered. Read the scripture. And you'll find out that they were done out and straight. In fact, the one was a man that was healed as the disciples were on their way to the temple. You see, it's awesome. Jesus did many of his mighty miracles. In fact, he did one in a house where these guys put a hole through a roof to bring him in front of Jesus. It was in a house. It's the signs and the wonders, they happen wherever. Matter of fact, the Bible says these signs will accompany them that believe. That's what God is doing in his church. Yeah, I get it. There are some people that because of the hurt and the turmoil that there goes on in church, we've ministered to so many people throughout the years that have actually been hurt in church. It's a place of offense. You know. But remember I said, just because you go to church don't make you Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you hamburger. See, if the offense happens in a building, we get all rattled. But actually, when we miss church, we miss God's school. That's where we learn together. Praise God, because we're family. That's where we learn together how to get along and how to communicate with people. I'll give you this one last illustration that I'm done. I'm on the district education council of our school district, Anglophone North. And right now we're dealing with some very serious policies that are coming. The other districts have their policy. We've been told by the government that we must come up with this policy before the election. We're being pressured. We started the meeting talking about the specific policy. And I said, you know, the struggle is not sexual orientation. The real problem has to do with values and how we value one another. How we react when somebody thinks or does something different from us. See, Jesus never came into this world to condemn it. He never came into this world to condemn it. This is the kind of Jesus that we serve. This is the kind of revelation, okay, that will help us every day in getting along with people. Have you ever noticed Jesus said, do good to those that despitefully use you? Pray for them that even persecute you. That's usually not a part of our culture. See, but we should be the best forgivers on God's green earth. We should be the best responders to some of the situations that come into our newer lives. Jesus said, I will build. What we don't realize is that Jesus has built something, especially when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He's built in you. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's great to have the gifts of the Spirit that come from the outpouring of the Spirit, but he's also given us the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit were given so that we would do what he did. The fruit of the Spirit is given so that we would be like him. We would be like him. We would be like him. Oh, my. Jesus said, I will build. I used to take it on myself. Whether the church was growing or whether it was not growing. And I begin to understand the words of Jesus. I will build. Success is not based on numbers. Success is based on our obedience. Based on our obedience. Well, Jesus said, I will build. He's looking for a church that will be obedient to him. That will be devotional. It's not about doing devotions. It's about being devotional to him. With our living, with our conduct, with our speech. May God help us. May God help us to be the kind of church he desires us to be. That doesn't mean that we're not going to think or say something different. Okay. It does mean that I can respond in a way that's Christ-like. We used to sing the song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm ready for heaven. I want Him to come. I'm looking at this earth and I'm going, dear Lord, there's so much stuff that's going on. I feel sorry for my kids that are bringing up kids in this environment. From earth to glory. My desire is to be like Him. I want to be the church that He's part of, the church that He's building. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the words of Jesus. I will build. Each and every person that's in this sanctuary today, I ask that You would tug in the very core of their being. I ask, Lord, that You would call them to a higher place in You, that we would be like You. Glory to God. Thank You for our differences. You've made us different. Our faces are different. Our lifestyles are different. You've made us with different bodies for a reason. And You have also, it's Your desire to bring, just like You did the apostles, just like you are bringing them with all their different backgrounds, You're bringing them together so that they can be Your church. I thank You for the Holy Spirit, for the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. I'm asking You to pour into us afresh today, that it's not just a song, but Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Glory to God. Fill us, every fiber of our being, not just so that we can do Your work, but we can be Your living work. And I thank You. I give You glory. I give You honor. You know, you might be here and you do not know Jesus. I want to give you opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Glory to God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I just want every one of us just to pray together to help this one or two that might be in here that don't know You. That you can pray all together. You can pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that Jesus died and that Jesus rose from the dead the third day. And I receive that work. I thank You, You've forgiven me of all my sin. Thank You, Father, for Jesus and for all He's done for me. Thank You that Jesus is given so that I can be like You. In Jesus' name, I receive You as my personal Lord and Master. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Lord, the glory of the Lord and His very countenance shine on you and bring you into peace that surpasses all understanding. And may that peace guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And may you live for Him. When you leave these doors, you're going out into the mission field to make disciples, to be the church. God bless you.